Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we're continuing this sermon series, I Love My Church, and we've made it through the vows. We looked at what does it mean to love our church with our prayers, and then we kind of took those three middle ones, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and we said time, talent, and treasure. Last week we looked at what does it mean to love my church, my faith, what does it mean to love Jesus with my witness. Today we're going to look at something completely different. We're going to look at what it means to invest in the kingdom, that we are going to love our church, we are going to love our faith through kingdom investment. What we've said this whole time is when we say we love something, there should be evidence to prove it. And so today, I hope when we get done with this, we see that there should be evidence that as disciples, we have indeed invested into the kingdom of God. Investment is much more than money. As a matter of fact, dictionary.com says that an investment is the investing of money or capital, other things of value, in order to gain a profitable return as interest income or appreciation in value. And then the second one I really like, it says a devoting, using, or giving of time, talent, emotional energy, etc., as for the purpose or as for a purpose or to achieve something. So we're talking much more than just money today. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be starting with verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus has been teaching. He's teaching about being ready for the bridegroom is coming and for the, you know, need to be ready. And then he's talking about the parable of the talents, what we're going to look at. And then he talks about the sheep and the goats. And basically, you get done with chapter 25, and Jesus has used all these verses, these three stories, to say one thing. When I come back, there will be a judgment. And what you've done is going to matter. Let's get there together. Will you stand if you can and are able today as we read from the gospel lesson? Sometimes y'all say we don't stand all the time. We stand in honor and reverence as a representation that this is a gospel reading. So when it's out of the gospel, we don't always do that. So hopefully that's helpful to you. But chapter 25, starting with verse 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to their ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the five talents went off at once and traded with them and made five more talents. In the same way, the one who had the two talents made two more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received five talents came forward bringing five more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I have made five more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the two talents also came forward saying, 'Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have also made two more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you may have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all of those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God, given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there's obviously two groups of slaves. I don't think we have to go very far to realize that, do we? That term slave is not the term slave we're familiar with. It can easily be translated servant, and in some of your translations, it probably was. Is that the NIV? Yep. It's servant?
Yep.
I think the King James, New King James, servant. So just an interchangeable term there. So we got two groups of servant. So we got the one that was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and then we've got the one with just the 1 talent. There's a word in there that I think is very important. That word is they were entrusted with. Do you know there's a difference between being entrusted with something and being given something? You see, right now we are entrusting our kids with adults, aren't we? We're hoping, man, they're going to take good care of them. They're going to give them back to us. And going back to that definition of investment, we hope that they've gained some value in their time together. Would you say those grandparents, parents, would you say the same could be said about sending your child off to school? Yeah, we entrust it to those people, those teachers, those principals. We entrust that they will, man, they'll take care of them. But there's also this expectation that when they come back to us, man, they ought to be a little bit smarter than they were when we sent them to you. Now, I want you to try this today. When you go out to lunch today, I want you to try to entrust your money to the place of lunch. Tell them you'll be back to get it and you hope it grows a little bit. You don't entrust your money to your waitress or your waiter. You give it to them and it becomes theirs. Entrust, we expect something back. Give, we forfeit control and it belongs to the other person. So this passage today tells us that what the master did was he entrusted this large sum of money. A talent was several years worth of what an average wage would be. Several thousands of dollars. In today's context, this would have been millions of dollars, especially for those that received more. But he just simply entrusted them with the money and left. No instructions, no micromanaging, no follow these 12 steps, and man, when I come back, that money ought to be doubled. No portfolios, no nothing. Here it is, I'll be back. Anybody else think you'd feel a little nervous? Right? Anybody else think your head taking the next flight to Mexico? You give me that kind of money and say, hey, I'll be back in 2 years and I want you to do something with it. I will. I'm going to spend it on the beaches of Mexico. I don't even like beaches, but I can take my wife down there and we're going to have a good time. I can go to a lot of games at Wrigley Field before they get back and get that money. But we know they're coming back. Have you ever had anyone entrust something to you or invest something in you? You see, I had a boss. Let's not call him a boss. Let's call him a supervisor that I used to work for. And they entrusted me with something very valuable. They entrusted me with something that was valuable, not just to them, but to their family. And because of that, they invested in me so that I would be successful. And I don't know that I was successful, but I did my very best to invest back into what had been given to me. I also had a boss, let's call them a supervisor, who did not invest in me. You know, they were there. They came and checked on me, but they never once spoke any words of affirmation or encouragement. They never helped me along the journey. Who do you think I was more loyal to? The first one, right? The one that entrusted me with something special, not the one who was always looking over my shoulder to see what was going on. Because of that, to this day, my loyalty will run much deeper than it probably should for the one supervisor who allowed me to fulfill my dreams by investing and entrusting me with things. What's the response when the master comes back and he goes to his servants to square up and he gets his five back with five more and his two back with two more? What does he say to them? It's a phrase that we quote all the time in church, isn't it? Well done. And some of your translations may say, my good and trustworthy or faithful servant. Is that not what you hear at funerals all the time? Man, this person today, they're entering into glory and they have heard well done. Anybody in here want to hear those words one day? I hope so. If not, I'm not real sure what you're doing here. I hope so. But then there's the second group. Now I want to say to you, before I go any further with the second group, that at points in my life, at points in my faith, I've been in both groups. I've really used the investments God's given me. I've really used the things that He's entrusted me with to try to grow and invest in His kingdom. But I've also just kind of been fed up, tired, burned out, and dug a hole and just buried it in there and said, come get it when you want it. Anybody else ever been there? Still go to church. I still believe, but somebody else will do that. I'm tired of doing everything. So I'm just going to dig a hole and let it sit there. So now I've been honest. So I'm not beating up on this poor guy. I was this poor guy. But he does nothing. He wastes all this time and he does nothing. And then the master returns. Can you imagine how he feels when he hears what's been happening? And then he gets the one back and he says, I was kind of scared. I was afraid. I didn't want to mess up. So here. He doesn't hear well done, does he? He hears, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Remember, the primary definition of investing of money or capital in order to gain a profitable return as interest, income, or appreciation in value. The master was indeed investing in these people just as much as he was entrusting his money to them. We all have things that we're invested in. Raise your hand if you've ever been invested in a child. Ooh. Time, money, emotional energy. When are they ever going to listen? Right? Sleepless nights. I hadn't even gotten to the driving and stuff yet. They can put that on pause. But man, we invest in sports teams. And y'all think, man, you're just picking on sports. No, I'm not. I invest in them too. I invest my time, my wardrobe, right? The things that I'm willing to put on my car, even my money, because all of that costs money. I'm willing to invest of a Saturday, a Thursday for those of you that think you're special. You win, so you get your own TV spot. Okay. The problem becomes when we invest more time, more energy, more emotions into things that begin to take the place of where God should be. We should invest nothing. And I know you're saying, you don't understand, I got a family, I got a job. I got those too. But I'm telling you, if you want to love your church, to love your faith, to grow in the pursuit of Christ, nothing should rank higher than your investment into the kingdom of God. It says that the first two, once they were given, they weren't just given the money. They were allowed to enter into what it says, the joy of the master. And I'm going to ask a very simple question. At this point in your life, could you use being in the presence of the joy of Christ? Then you must invest in the kingdom of God. It's only when you have a return on your investment that you get the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. So when your life is falling apart, you still stand in the joy of the Lord. We invest in things that will crumble. People will let you down. Jobs will let you down. The stock market will let you down. The kingdom of God has never and will never let you down. So why does any of this matter? Why does it matter what I do with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness? Why does all that matter? Well, it's pretty simple why it matters. And I hope to show you. Come here for just a second. You. How loyal do you think I am to this individual? For those of you, some of you don't know, this is my twin sister. How loyal do you think I am to her? See, some of you don't know me very well. Those of you that know me, how loyal am I to this individual? Very loyal. But can I tell you something that you might sound really weird? It's not because we're blood. It's not because we're blood. It's not because she's a twin. It's because she has invested in my life. When my life fell apart, she cried tears. When I had joys and celebrations, she cheered for me. Does that make sense? So my loyalty stems from what she has already poured into and invested in me. I now pour back and invest in her. Sit down. Come here. How loyal do you think I am to this one? Very. This one's a little different, right? I'm loyal to her, one, because I made a promise before God that I would be. But it goes much deeper than that. See, she's not my blood. We have zero of the DNA chromosomes. They don't match. Our children's are a combination of the two. But my loyalty to her stems from the investment she's made in my life. That when my life was falling apart, she didn't go anywhere. When I didn't have the faith, she stood in front of the devil to protect me. When I didn't lead my family, she did. When I haven't made enough money, she does. Sit down. I love you. Why is kingdom investment so important? Because he invested in our lives by coming down from, he didn't have to do it. He came down, he lived with the filth of the earth because he invested in you. And so our kingdom investment, if nothing else, should come just because he died on a cross for us. You may think you deserve that. I don't. I don't deserve any. I don't deserve a criminal to die for me. Most, yes, the kingdom and the master of all to die for me. He invested in you. He entrusted you with talents. I don't have a spiritual talent. You've got the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything else. But here's the deal. I don't have a clue where I am. I don't even think I'm using the rest of that. I don't know. Yeah, go to the next one for me. See, here's this. This is a song that's out, and then I think I'm just going to quit. But there's a song out called Well Done, and the group is called The Afters, and this is just a small part of the song. But it says, I've been waiting my whole life for that day. He's talking about when he gets to heaven. Until then, I'll live. Until I get there, I have to live my life. You ready for something? Like I'm already there. You don't have to wait till you stop living in this earth to live in heaven. Jesus said, heaven, the kingdom of God is near. So let's live into it. Moving on. Until then, I'll live to hear you, Jesus, say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. You see, the Master is coming back. His word tells us. I'm selfish. I want him to come back. Well, he could wait. I've already paid for the pizza. So yeah, 115-ish would be fine. But that's selfish on my part because I'm ready. He's coming back, and when he comes back, what's going to be asked is, what did you do with what I entrusted you with? See, we're going to answer for that individually. And I think we have to answer in a different way, not at judgment, but in the here and now, we answer for what we've done as a church with what's been entrusted to us. He's entrusted this community to us. He's entrusted this to us. See, once you call this home, it's not about you anymore. You've joined the party to try to make it about other people. But he's coming back. Skip my scriptures and go to my last one. Go to my mic drop slide. He's coming back and he's going to say one of two phrases to you. He's going to say, well done. Or he's going to say, wicked and lazy. You're the only one who can determine which one it will be. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.